I was rejoicing in the words of that song, plunged beneath the flood, knowing that He forgives sin and He has the power to save us from our sin. Praise our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I would ask that you bow your head in prayer with me as we invite the Lord's help. It says in the Word of God that our hearts are illumined and we know God through the foolishness of preaching. And I know that that word is intended to be used because it is through lips of clay that He speaks, and we need His anointing and we need His help today for understanding and clarity of His word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before You this morning. We recognize Your majesty and our undoneness without You in our life. You are so far removed from where we are. There's a great gulf fixed between us and You. We can never attain to Your holiness and to Your majesty. And as we look at the fallen estate of man, it is without hope that we recognize our condition of sin. But for Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel unto salvation, we thank You that a cross was made to bridge that gulf and bring man into the very presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask this morning, Lord, that You would illumine our hearts, that You would open our minds to the Scriptures today, that You would give us understanding of Your Word. Give us an ability to speak, Lord, with anointing and power from the Lord Jehovah as He speaks through us. We are just a mere man, have nothing in and of ourselves to bring today but what You can only give to us. We ask, Lord, that You would speak to each heart that is here, some who are seeking for You, some who are lost in trespasses and sin, some, Lord, who have the knowledge of Christ in their life, but maybe not following as close as they should. You see each of us today, Lord, in the desire You have for us, and we ask, Lord, You would speak to all of us this day, from child to adult, that Your hand would move among us, and that the Word would become real to us. We pray, Lord, that You would help us, guide us in the next few moments. Help us, Lord, to collectively close out the world and the things of the day and focus on You. We ask it for Your honor, for Your glory, and in Your name. Amen. Excuse me. I would ask that you go with me in your mind into the Old Testament Scriptures. In the book of Exodus chapter 4, I would like to lift a passage of Scripture. And as one of my pastoral friends said, he said that he reads a passage of Scripture, and his wife said then he sees how quickly he can get away from it and move on in his message. I trust that doesn't happen this morning, that we stay on topic and we stay on task. But there's a passage of Scripture that speaks to me, for I found myself, you say, well, you're a missionary, you must be something special. I'm a northern Michigan hillbilly, and my parents grew up in the farming community of northern Michigan. My father grew up in a sand lot raising strawberries, and my mama grew up on a potato farm. And I know what it is to have dirt under my fingernails, and I said to myself, Lord, who am I that You should call me to go and share Your word? And I found a lot of excuses in my life. I found a lot of reasons. And I want us to think about the calling as God calls Moses in this chapter. It's interesting to me, as the story unfolds, what the response is to the call and what God's response is to that response. So let us look at Exodus chapter 4, and we find as we're breaking into the middle of this storyline that Moses has encountered the burning bush. He's heard the words, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. God has spoken to him. Moses has turned aside to witness the voice of God. No question about the call. No question about the call. Then Moses answered in chapter 4, verse 1, but behold, he's negotiating with God. I know you never do that, but Moses did. But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. He had an excuse. The Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." I am interested in this passage because it speaks to me this morning. I had thought for a long time that it was only great people, the Sinclair Fergusons, the Derek Thomases of the world, that we look at and we read their books and we go, oh, they just have special anointing and God is with them and they're just great men. We look in the Old Testament and we see Moses and his call. He was raised in the Pharaoh's house and he had all that training and all of that education. But when God called him, he didn't speak to his education. He didn't speak to his training. He didn't speak to his awesome presence. He just said, "What's in your hand?" And then I look and I see Aaron's rod. You know, that was just, it had so many miracles and God confirmed as it budded and they put it in the ark and all of that leadership that he provided as the spokesperson for Moses. I think about David, that sling must have been something special that he carried. You know, it was just, those stones were just miraculous. I actually was thinking about David as I was in the dove field yesterday. I couldn't hit a dove with a shotgun, but David hit Goliath with a stone. I realized that God smiled at that moment and humbled me a little bit, but it was something great because it was David. Abraham's journey, Noah's Ark and Gideon's fleece. And I remember the stories as a child, my mother teaching me those stories and hearing them in Sunday school. And these guys were giants in my mind, huge guys that did something for God and did something positive. Jacob as he dug his well, and Solomon's wisdom as he reigned and as he was the king, the wisest of all men. Big people doing big things for a big God. And they received big blessings. Big God, big people, big things. Who am I that he should call me? Who am I and what could I do? And Moses was saying, you know, I stutter, I stammer, I can't speak well, and the people won't believe me, and they're going to say I'm a liar, and how do I prove that I was in your presence? He wanted God to do something great and miraculous, you know, make a special glow about me, or people can't argue with my words. Do something miraculous and wonderful so that everyone will know that I am God's chosen man. And God says, "Well, what's in your hand?" He said, "Well, it's just a staff. It just keeps me from stumbling. It's just a staff." And then God told him to do something with that staff. What did he tell him to do? Throw it on the ground. Let go of it. Get rid of it. And then, and only then, God began to use it and began to teach Moses who he really was. And I think about David's sling. It was just a common shepherd's sling. But David went out in the name of the Almighty God. How dare this uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the Almighty God? And he said, in the name of God, as he released the stone. It wasn't the sling, it wasn't the stone, it was the God behind it that did the work. And as I began contemplating that, the Lord shifted my gaze over into the book of John in chapter 6. To a tremendous miraculous occurrence that happened. It's written in the Gospels. It's recorded in several accounts. It's talked about remarkably down through the centuries of time that have passed about the tremendous miraculous thing that Jesus did when he fed the 5,000 with just a few little loaves of bread and a few fish. But then I realized there was something significant happened in the story that I hadn't realized. And I want to talk to you just a moment about a little boy named Uzziah. I'm taking a little bit of liberty with Scripture, if that's okay. I named the lad who had the lunch. The name means the power of God. I think it fits. We move into a little community. Jesus is in town. And he's going to be traveling out to speak, and the noise is in the community, and there's a hustle and a bustle, and we go into this humble little home, and there's a little boy about maybe 8-10 years old, and Uzziah goes to his mother and says, my friend's father's going to hear Jesus, and I want to go, Mama. And this boy had a good mother. It's very clear, because she said, Uzziah, you need to stay home. But Mama, please, I want to go. I'll go with them and I'll be careful. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And finally she relents and she says, okay, you can go, but you have to take a little something to eat because you're going to be going a few hours walk. You're going to be out there. It's going to be late when you come back and you need to have something to eat. And you have to promise me to eat this. And she grabs something left over from the day before. Really, it wasn't something she had prepared and planned for. It was something she grabbed, and it was the leftovers that Jesus used in this story. Think about that as we continue on with the storyline. He took the leftovers, and he went out to hear Jesus preach. He took his little lunch. Jesus is teaching and preaching. The children are running around playing games. And the parents are listening. The Bible only counts the men in the story. 5,000 plus women and children. 15,000 to 20,000 people easily could have been gathered here hearing Jesus speak that day. And Jesus turns to his disciples and asks one of those probing questions. And says, the disciples come and say, you know, the people are getting hungry, Master. What are we going to do? And Jesus says, well, in one of the accounts, he actually says to Philip, why don't you feed them? And Philip says, Master, it would be more than 200 penny worth of bread to feed this many people. I'm a simple fellow and I have to understand all of this and what that means. And I start thinking through and I do a little bit of calculating in my mind. And one story, Jesus talked about a day's wage. How much was a day's wage in this society and in this time? Every man received how much for a day? One penny. Wasn't that the storyline Jesus used? And Philip's using the same analogy. The 200 denarii wouldn't be sufficient enough. 200 pennies worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient enough. And I begin multiplying a day's wage, 200 pennies. Well, today, it's about $200 to pay somebody to come paint your house or work for you. And so 200 days' wage times $200, that would be $40,000 worth of bread. And at Walmart, it's $1 to $2 a loaf. So maybe 20,000 loaves of bread to feed all these people. Wait a minute. We're talking about a lot of people. This is a lot of bread. And Philip turns to the other fellas and says, guys, we don't have a committee for this. We didn't talk to an engineer and we haven't studied. We don't know anything about giving out bread. Can you imagine right now if Jesus said to you, you need to hand out 20,000 loaves of bread in the next hour? Elders, you'd have to have a quick meeting. I mean, the session would have to meet and somebody would look in the treasury. We don't have it. We don't have that available. We don't even have a bakery. Where would we get this? It's not possible. It seems like Jesus is asking something of his disciples that they absolutely cannot do. When he says to them, just feed the people. Do this. And he did this because he knew what he was about to do. They look through the whole assemblage and they find one little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes left over from yesterday's meal. His mother had sent to him. And the disciples say to the boy, they bring him to Jesus and say, son, Jesus needs your lunch. And I'm as convinced as I can be. As I read this story, this little boy had no idea, no one had any idea what Jesus was going to do, and he took his lunch and he gave it to Jesus. What did he think at that moment? Jesus was going to eat it. Jesus was hungry, and so he gave everything he had in his hand to Jesus. And when he let go of it, and Jesus received it, something began to happen. He prayed and he began to break and he began to hand. And as he broke what was given to him, something happened where it just was a miracle because everyone ate. And they all were filled. And then Jesus sent them out and they gathered up the leftovers and they collected 12 baskets full of leftovers of the leftovers. You see, Jesus took the leftovers when they were totally given to him and he broke them and he blessed them and they became leftovers. The extravagance of the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine being this boy's mother? As she sees in the distance the crowds returning to the village, and her son's in the front. And all the elders of the village are around Uzziah as they're coming back, and they're carrying baskets full, and her heart is sinking within her. What did he do this time? Oh no, they're bringing him back to the house. And he's busting with energy as they return, and they've got these 12 baskets full. And he tells the most incredible story of what Jesus did that day as the multitude was fed. As I read in the Old Testament, big people doing big things for a big God. And then God spoke to me in the midst of this passage and said, "Son, all I need from you today is your lunch. Can I have it?" And I realized that it wasn't what I wanted to become that God wanted. It wasn't what I had been trained to do that God wanted. He just wanted what was in my hand at the moment. Because most of us, when we look at what is in our hand, it's something that's common. It's something we're familiar with. It's something we know, and it's something that's easy for us. We look at everyone else and we admire their courage and we admire their talents and we wish, oh, I wish I could play the piano like the sister plays in church or like the brother plays, or I wish I had the gift to sing as brother so-and-so as he got up and shared in song, or I wish I could preach like the pastor. But God didn't ask any of these people for anything other than what was simply in their hand at the moment. Now, I do some stained glass. I learned how to do it many years ago. I love doing it. It's a lot of fun for me. It's easy. It's not hard. I draw up a picture. I cut the glass. I put the foil on it. I let it together, and it turns out, and it's okay. And I tell my wife, "This is so simple. It's nothing." She said, "You don't understand. There's a lot of people that can't do this." I said, "Oh, a monkey could do this. It's just not hard." Are you hearing what I'm saying? What is it that's in your hand? "Well, Lord, if I ever win the lottery, I'll give money to your kingdom." "If I win the shotgun at the raffle, I'll give it to the missions." That was actually said, I think. Brother Howard, it didn't work. You know, we talk about things that we don't have and what we would do if we had it. But God isn't asking for anything extraordinary this morning. He just wants to know, what is it that you hold in your hand? What do you have? Who are you? And what do you possess that God could use if you would just open your hands and let Him have it? You say, "But it's nothing. It was just leftovers." But look what Jesus did with leftovers. I'm so glad He doesn't throw away the leftovers. Amen? I'm so glad that even though you've made mistakes in your life, you've had issues in your life, there's been problems in your life, He doesn't throw the clay away. The master potter takes the clay and he refashions it on his wheel and he turns it into something of beauty. He doesn't discard the worn and the used, but He uses it for His glory. But He requires us to be just as the little boy and bring everything to Him and then let go of it. Remember Peter when he was on the sea and he stepped out of the boat? Jesus said, you know, Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you." You remember the story? Can you imagine Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water? He got out of the boat like you and I would have got out of the boat. He got out of the boat and said, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe." But he couldn't reach Jesus until he let go. And then what happened? He looked down and he began to sink. And Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And he caught him and he lifted him. And that's what will happen when you get out of the boat and you let go. The waves are still there and the wind is still blowing, but Jesus is there to catch you and to lift you and to make of you what He wants you to be. But you have to somehow let go of what is in your hand before he can use it for his honor and for his glory. So many of us have plans of what we want to become and what we're going to do. But he's not asking about what you're going to become. That's good to plan. It's good to study. It's good to learn. But he wants today what you represent. Can he have it? One of the songwriters we sang as a child a lot this song as we talked about dedication and talked in youth group. Give of your best to the master. Maybe some of you remember the song. Maybe some of you have sung the song yourself. Give him first place in your life. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. And the Bible tells us that tomorrow is the day of salvation. Is that how your Bible reads? Or does it say today is the day of salvation? It's about right now. It's not about what you plan on and what you did, but it's about today, present, right here in this church. Who are you and who is your Christ? Isaac Watts, one of the greatest hymnologists of history, penned the words of a song. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love that I owe. Here, Lord, right now, today, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. I wonder who the Lord is speaking to this morning. You've come with a burden on your heart. You've come with needs. You've come asking God for a miracle. You've come needing something special. You've come beyond, it's something that you can't manage. It's beyond your ability to grasp. And you're looking at the big and you're looking at the mighty. You're looking at the mountain. And Jesus says, can I have your lunch? What, Lord? Just my lunch? Yes, can I have your lunch? But Lord, it's just the leftovers. It's nothing. The bread's stale and the fish are cold. But here, Jesus, you can have it. And it was because of this boy's generosity to give Jesus everything that the multitude was fed. The disciples were astounded. The mother was chagrined. And look at the blessing because of leftovers. Because it was in someone's hand. And they just said, here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Maybe you're looking at retirement years. Maybe you're looking at the future as a young person. I challenge you, young people, there's no greater life to live than be totally committed to the cause of Christ, sold out to do what is great for the kingdom of God, to be an instrument of mercy in his hands. And you'll say, as my wife did, Lord, I'll go anywhere in the world but the Middle East. We'll do missions anywhere that you call us but Middle East. And we find ourselves in Pakistan. God heard her and he smiled. You say, but I could never do something like that. All God's asking for is your lunch. What is in your hand today? Moses replied to the Lord and said, Lord, it's just a staff. So many men have the same thing. Lord, it's nothing. It's just a staff. And the Lord said, cast it down. And it became a serpent. And he said to Moses, pick up the tail, grab it by the tail. I'm glad he didn't say grab it by the head. That doesn't make sense. He said, grab it by the tail. And so he did. And it became a staff again. And that is the staff that split the waters and led the children of Israel across dry ground. It was the staff that split the rock open and water gushed out. It was the staff that cured the diseases and the problems of the children of Israel. It was the mark of leadership because it was no longer Moses' staff, but it was Moses' staff that had been given to God. And God used it to astound the world. You have no idea what you're capable of or what God may ask you to do. But he's just asking this morning for the lunch that you hold in your hand. Would you let him have it? Would you surrender your heart to him today? Maybe some of you have come thinking about things you want to do yet in the world. And he's saying, I want you to give your heart to me today. And I'm convinced with the size of this crowd, there are some here that need to ask forgiveness of your sin. You need to commit your way to the Lord. Maybe there's some young people here that have plans and dreams of something, and God is stirring in your heart, calling you into ministry or some other part of His service. Please say yes to the Master. I can tell you honestly, it's the greatest thing that I ever did when I chose to follow Christ in my life. He's done some tremendous things in my life, tremendous things in my heart. And I've gotten to see firsthand God's hand move in the lives of people. I've seen Him perform miracles. I've seen Him heal sick people that should have died. I've seen Him do things that are just out of the ordinary. But first, one day, I had to say, okay, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here's my leftovers. Here's my little lunch. It's nothing. But I'm bringing it to you, and I'm placing it on your altar. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would do something with me for your honor and for your glory. I'm leaving this truth with you. I want you to think for a few moments. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. And I want us to think collectively before the Lord as a church. What is our lunch? What could we do with it? Individually, Lord, what is it that you're calling from me and asking of me today? He's asking for all of us. We can all participate. We can all do something for Jesus. Not what we hope to do, but what is it that is in our hand that He's asking for, that we can let go of, that He might receive honor and glory? Let us pray. Our Lord, we would ask that you would take these halting words as we've endeavored to deliver what you've placed on our heart, and would you apply them today? Walk down each of these aisles and each of these rows. Speak to us individually and help us to open our hearts honestly before you. Look deep within us and see if there is any wicked way that is not pleasing to you. And this day, Lord, we would ask that you would forgive us of our sin, that you would accept our offering and our gift. It is so small and it's so unworthy of your awesome majesty. But Lord, what we have in our hand, we open our hand and we give to you today. Would you receive our offering of love and the gift from our heart and do with it as you please, Lord, as you break it and minister to those around us. Lord, that you would receive, as the Bible uses this word, preeminence. That you would receive the honor. It's not about me, but it's about you. It's not about my life, Lord, but it's about Jesus Christ living in me. It's not about my ambitions and my plans and my future, Lord, but it's about your kingdom. And as we pray those words of the great prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To you be all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise this day. For it is in the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we pray and ask. Amen.